Hello and welcome to episode 316 of the Extra Features podcast. It would help if I learned how to talk. I am Doug, and I am joined by the founder and president of Extra Features. If you want to introduce yourself, or do you want me to do it?
Well, I like to go by Grand Poobah, personally.
Fair. Okay.
So, and my name is Simon. I've been here from day one. It's one day I'm sure I've told the story way back when of how this formed, but you'll have to go listen to episode one or two. I did talk about it. So it doesn't matter. Our illustrious other founder, Kevin, is still globetrotting. He's in Italy this weekend. I think he's at LucaCon. I could be wrong of the name of it, but I know he's in Italy right now. So he will be returning. We have not gotten rid of him in any way. And for people behind me that can't see this on the video, my green screen just fell on my head.
Nice.
My daughter's turned 16. So I have some good news this week.
Oh, good.
They finally canceled Kung Fu. This has got to be the worst pile of crap I've ever watched in my life because I'm a completist. Once I start a show, I will watch until the bitter end.
I have never watched an episode.
Don't. I'm not telling anybody to watch this show. It is awfully acted. I just love martial arts.
Okay.
The problem is they don't have enough in it. They just talk and talk and talk. And then they occasionally have martial arts. I'm like, oh, really?
Well, did they actually hire actors who know how to perform martial arts?
No, I think they just hired pretty people, to be honest with you. I mean, the lead probably can do a little bit, and her boyfriend obviously can do a little bit. And that's really about it. So, oh, well. And you gotta love this. I watched Ted Lasso, wide awake, enjoyed it, caught up to date because I watch it every week. Try to watch Flash again, put me to sleep twice.
Nice.
Fell asleep twice during Flash. I'm like, this show's crap. Two episodes to go, and I ain't rewatching the one I fell asleep during because it was that boring.
We stopped watching Flash years ago, so.
I know, but I'm a completist, so I'm losing all my shows. So it's kind of nice that I'm finally, and hopefully next time we talk, I've started Silo.
Okay. Yeah, that one's cool. On my list. I'm not sure I'll have it started, but.
I have a very small list because I just I only have time for about 4 to 5 hours of TV a week.
Okay. Fair enough. And,
some more things before we get going. I want to thank Tim. I wish I knew the name of his company because I don't know, but he was recommended from my other friend named Tim, who is really weird, has a best friend named Simon too. So Tim and Simon from Ottawa, and there's Tim and Simon in Toronto, which is really scary for me. It's kind of confusing. But he got our website up, so thank you, Tim, for making this happen. If anybody has any computer problems at all with their website, send me an email at extrafeatures.gmail, and I will give you his email. He is amazing. So he's still, and that's it for me. I don't think I really have anything else right now, but I'm sure.
Well,
I have
actually, to play off that, why don't we bring up our PayPal?
Yes.
If we would like to, if there are fans out there who would like to help participate in the show, shall we say, and donate via PayPal. I believe Simon said if you donate $5 or more, you actually get to pick a film that we will watch and critique. But just be warned, if it is your film that you want us to watch and you pay the $5, we'll watch it. But we will be honest. If we like it, we'll say so. If we don't, we'll say that too.
I love to say right now that Tim has put the PayPal button on my website, but he's not. So right now it's Extra Features Podcast, I think, at obviously thing. Extra Features Podcast for PayPal. But I will check as we're doing the episode just to confirm that.
Okay.
So continue.
And that is our spiel. So if you want, we could just get right into it. We could
get
start
right
off
into it because I'm currently checking PayPal.
All right. Our first film is one of the biggest of the year so far. Let's go with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, directed by James Gunn, starring Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan, Pom Clatif, Sean Gunn, Chudwick Iwuji, Will Poulter, and Elizabeth Debicki. That's probably the most actors I'll name this time. But yes, it's the latest Marvel movie, James Gunn's last film with Marvel, as he's now the head of DC Films. And while Simon's looking it up, I guess I'll go with my thoughts first.
You know what? I'm on the screen right now, and I hate to say this. I don't know, but it's Extra Features Podcast, I'm pretty sure. Or just type in Extra Features. It's one or the other. But there will be a PayPal button coming up on the website very shortly.
Okay.
And hopefully by the time you hear this episode, this is all redundant and it's there.
Sounds good. I will get back to my thoughts on Guardians. I will say, for me, James Gunn nailed the ending. It has been a long time since I've actively liked a Marvel film. Every Marvel film has some aspects I like, some aspects I don't. Recently, they've mostly been stuff I didn't like, with a few bright shining, maybe a scene or two in there. The last one I actively liked, I will say, was Infinity War. Since then, I wouldn't really recommend any of the ones post that. Yes, even Spider-Man No Way Home, I was not a big fan of that.
Okay,
but this one,
you're lucky you're far away right now. You get big wet noodle slap.
That's fair. I know I'm in the minority with that, but I was not a
minority.
Fan of
No Way Home. No, you're on your own island. Like, it's just you with a decreasing, smaller size.
But anyway, I will say I love Guardians 3. I thought James Gunn, he brought the emotion to it. Basically, when you start a movie off with Radiohead, my favorite band, end the movie, the final song in the credits was by Bruce Springsteen. Love Bruce. There's a major fight scene set to a Beastie Boys song. James Gunn has me with that. But I will say, this is also the first time I've actually liked Chris Pratt in a long time. there's something about Pratt when he works with James Gunn. They just work well together. Gunn knows how to bring out the best in Pratt. Pratt, I loved him on Parks and Rec when he's playing a big doof. But when he's trying to be a leading man and all muscular and tough, it doesn't always work for me, but it does with James Gunn with Guardians, because Star-Lord can sometimes still be a bit of a doof. Having said that, this story was entirely Rocket's story. We learn Rocket's origin, the tragedy of it, and that also brings up the High Evolutionary, who is the villain of this film. And I think this was a time Marvel actually did it right. This bad guy was completely irredeemable. Most Marvel villains kind of have a point, or they have a point of view that you can somewhat relate to. High Evolutionary was just bad to his core. There was nothing redeeming about him, and I like that. I like having villains that are just villainous. There was nothing redeeming about him, and I'm going to badly pronounce his name, Chukwudi Iwuji. I first saw him on.
I think you hit
James
it right.
Gunn's.
I think that's his name.
Okay. Oh, good. I first saw him on James Gunn's Peacemaker show on HBO Max, which I think is probably the best thing James Gunn has done. But when I heard he was going to be the bad guy in James Gunn's final Guardians film, I got kind of excited, because he's a very good actor, and to see him go from the small screen of television to the big screen and hold his own with actual movie stars like Chris Pratt, it was wonderful. I really enjoyed this movie. I think James Gunn nailed the ending. I'm going to go with Letterboxd scores, because I now rate my movies on Letterboxd. I would give this 4 out of 5 stars.
Well, first of all, we both should give out our Letterboxd here. I'm Extra Features Podcast, I think, on Letterboxd, somewhere like that. You'll find me anyway.
I'm,
and I don't know what Doug is.
I'm Doug Hainer.
I don't think we've ever followed each other on Letterboxd. Maybe you just got on it.
I don't think so either. I've just started recently giving star ratings. So
okay. Well, I'm always on there posting something. So if you want to know, we probably shouldn't read each other's to ruin this. So maybe we shouldn't. But
that's true. Yes.
Back to Guardians. Chris Pratt's a movie star? Really?
Super Mario's made over $1 billion. He's the lead of the Jurassic Park films that all made over $1 billion each. He's the movie star.
But I guess my question is, do you remember Passengers with Chris Pratt that didn't make over $1 billion?
Unfortunately, I do remember it just because it was creepy as hell and that story was not okay in my book.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So Chris Pratt does well in ensemble casts. I want to see him do better on his own, maybe, than give movie star status.
He does have a hit Amazon Prime show.
I've never seen it.
I couldn't tell you the name of it off the top of my head, but...
And it's not Jack Ryan. That's John Krasinski, so don't get confused.
Right. Yeah, it's something... I forget the name of it, but it's another one of those military action shows.
Okay. Now my opinion of Guardians 3. Friggin' loved it. I was shocked how much I liked this film. I hated the last Guardians, openly disliked the last Guardians film. First one I enjoyed. I was like, this thing starts off and I'm like, oh, here we go again. Rockets, I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to want to watch this. I almost did not want to go see this movie.
Wow.
I just was so uninterested since the last one. But as it went along, I got into it. I'm like, okay, I'm starting to like these people. Batista didn't annoy me. That's a positive. Mantis, I didn't want to punch in the face by the end of the film. That's a positive. It just hard to grow on me. I love Rocket, of course, but they take him out of the film early. But everything worked. You know what it is? It's the Karen Gillan effect. She is so good.
Yes.
And she makes me like her. And I'm like, okay, I got something to hold on to. And I enjoyed the scenarios. I love the High Evolutionary. I think he's finally a villain I could kind of grab onto. Mm-hmm. I think they did a better job with him in this film than I saw at Kang in the last one, which you're supposed to be taking Kang for the next 10 films. Mm-hmm. But who knows, with his domestic problems, will we ever see him again? Let's recast him, I presume.
That is true. Probably.
But I thought this was fun. I thought the origin Rocket was really good. I thought the comedy was really strong. When Chris Pratt calls him, where are you? We're on the ship. On the ship. I'm not on the ship. That was excellent. I thought that whole scene was good. I thought Will Coulter, which you did mention, did a wonderful job. Coulter?
Yes. Coulter.
Coulter. I thought he did great. I think James Gunn finally got a movie right for me. I mean, I didn't like his Suicide Squad films. Either of them I didn't like. But this I get. I'm kind of like, he's finally got it. I don't know why. I think the dialogue was fun. It was quippy. I like the High Evolutionary. We show him why he's a villain. I mean, we had Nathan Fillion here for 30 seconds because he got cut out of 2.
Mm-hmm.
Stallone's wandering around again, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, all of James Gunn's buddies are back.
His brother, who plays somebody, I don't know who his brother plays.
Craglin.
Oh, is that who he plays?
Yes.
Okay. But it's just kind of fun, you know? Even Judy Greer shows up as Pigface.
That's right. That is right.
Her 4 lines of Pigface for Judy Greer. I'm like, I could have done that job, James Gunn. Just give me a call next time. I could do Pigface. I think the action's fun. I think the storyline works. I think it's fast moving, which I think we've had a problem with the Marvel films lately. They have not been fast moving. Mm-hmm. They've been really slow and methodical. And I'm like, oh, I think that was big Black Panther's biggest issue. It was too slow.
Yes. Yes.
And this one gets it. Let's get the film done. Have some fun. Get in, get out, solve our problems and leave.
I will say at 2.5 hours long, it did kind of feel that long to me at times.
Oh, I could have got 3 hours of this one easily.
Okay. I did feel it. Some of the scenes with Adam Warlock, I think I know why they're in there, to keep him to keep the audience remembering him, but I think they kind of went on a bit too long.
Get that, but have you seen Bo is Afraid?
I have not seen that yet. The 3 hour.
Well, I just saw the 3 hour Bo is Afraid before I watched this.
Okay.
So I went from one to the next, so it was a long day. But no, it was great. I think this film is fabulous. I think everybody should see it. I did read, I have to agree, it's the greatest film since Endgame. I 100% agree.
Okay.
The most fun I've had. Shang-Chi is a close second, but Shang-Chi just drops the ball in the last 30 seconds.
I did not like the second half of Shang-Chi. I think from the scaffolding fight on.
Yes, I agree.
As soon as I did not like any of the second half of that movie.
That's the problem. I think a lot of directors, James Gunn doesn't get comics. Like, they pretend they've never read a comic. I'm like, you got to read your source material to understand how they work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to have a big ending, a fun ending to make the reader want to come back. And James Gunn made me want to come back. And I hate it, too.
That's
so fair. I think the High Evolutionary, is he dead? Probably. But I could have to handle him again. He was a great villain. He just killed things. Just did what he wanted to do.
You could bring him back.
True, because I hear in Fear of the Walking Dead, the mom didn't die. Oh, spoilers. Like, she was totally dead. I 100% watched that season. That was the last season I watched.
You never saw the body. Up on.
That's my buddy said. Well, that's my argument with John Wick. There's going to be a John Wick 5. We never saw the body.
Yes, exactly.
Well, more spoilers. Oh, we forgot to tell people, we spoil films, so don't listen to us anymore if you want and come back. And hit that PayPal button. As soon as I find it.
Well, I guess we can now move on to Evil Dead Rise, directed by Lee Cronin, starring Lily Sullivan, Alyssa Sutherland, Morgan Davies, Gabrielle Eccles, and Neil Fisher. Do you want to go first on this, or would you like me to
You're going to hate me anyway. I'm a big fan of comedy Evil Dead. I love the TV show. Okay. I love the thing. I even like the remake, the first remake they did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was fabulous. I watched this. I don't know what, Doug. I did not like this at all. I tried hard. This is a one location, pretty much, horror in the building. I didn't like anybody in it. I didn't find the Deadites interesting. I thought they were doing bad callbacks to films I had already seen. I just didn't care. I thought they were doing gore for Gorefest at one point. I'm like, this is not interesting to me. I need some fun in my Evil Dead. I understand you're recycling jokes. Fine, I can accept that. But they didn't work here. I just thought they just threw this out to have an Evil Dead film out there. I really thought it should have gone direct to video.
I think it was supposed to be direct to HBO Max.
Okay, perfect.
And but then they thought it would do well. That they thought, oh,
did
this
it
is
do
big.
Well? I don't know. Has it made money?
I don't think it's been like Super Mario Brothers.
Well or, I don't think the Guardians. 5-year-olds are going to see Evil Dead.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's – I think it's done well but not that well.
Well, the only thing I learned from the Evil Dead movies, you find a creepy book, don't open it.
Yes.
Like, I'm starting to learn that. Like, I don't know. I just thought the kid, like, oh, look what I found. Opens, ooh, look, pulls it out. I'm like, really? He's just going to open the book randomly? Like, we do have the internet in this movie, right? Was you done some research before you opened the book? Maybe try to eBay it?
Yeah, I'm actually going to have to agree with you on this. This is
God. I thought you were going to roast me.
No, this is honestly my least favorite Evil Dead film.
Mine too. I did not look at your rankings, by the way, that you did post on Facebook. I had to skip them. I apologize.
Okay. That's fine. But yeah, this one came in last. I thought the acting was fine, especially the two sisters, Lily Sullivan and Alyssa Sutherland. I thought they were good acting wise. especially Elisa Sutherland as the possessed mother. I thought she brought creepy and motherly together. I thought that was pretty good. But otherwise, I just kind of thought it did have the gore, but I didn't really care about any of the characters. And they had this big buildup to all the other residents on the fourth floor where they all get killed in the hallway, but then they get possessed by the deadites and they come back and they start saying Dead by Dawn. But then they go down the family, the main family we follow, goes down the elevator. We never find out what happens to the other deadites in that hall. The sister Beth just kills the rest of the family with a Chekhov's wood chipper that you see in the beginning that you knew would come back at the end. But what about all the deadites on the fourth floor? I don't, as far as I know, they didn't come down the elevator. But
Maybe Ash got to them.
One can hope. But yeah, this is probably my least favorite, or it's definitely my least favorite Evil Dead film. I gave this one 2.5 stars out of 5.
I gave it a 2.
That's fair. That is a fair
ranking.
The
thing was, I heard an interview with Sam Raimi pretty much just blowjobbing this whole thing, going, oh, we were waiting for this director. He's amazing. We wanted the other director back, but he was busy. But I love what the guy did. His vision's just amazing. I'm like, really, Sam? Really? You are just choking chain the whole time here. Like, oh, here's some more money. Here, you go and go do it. I want an Evil Dead film that's Evil Dead. These guys weren't evil.
No, and like you said, it missed out on the fun. That there wasn't the fun atmosphere. At least with the Fede Alvarez remake, he kind of dropped the fun, but went extreme on the horror and the
which
gore.
Which I loved. It creeped the hell out of me, that one.
But it worked. It worked really. He had a visual flair. Lee Cronin wasn't that visual to me. There was nothing that really caught my eye. Maybe the opening credits when we see the possessed woman rise from the lake and then you see Evil Dead rise in the sky behind her. That was maybe the one visual thing that really caught my attention. But that had nothing to do with the rest of the film. It really didn't connect in any way to the main story that we watched.
Don't worry, they're going to make more of these. We know that. So
yeah, that is true. Up.
I just think we need a horror director that's not pedestrian.
Yes, I could see that.
Dull. I mean, I get a lot of horror stuff sent to me for Extra Featured Interview, which is also available on our website, which I know people listen to. And I see better horror there than I did in this film, like things that scare me.
Okay.
I mean, on a lower budget.
So are you saying boo that it ghosted you, this movie?
Oh.
That was a really bad transition to our next film.
God. Daniel, come back.
Yes, our next film is Ghosted, directed by Dexter Fletcher, starring Ana de Armas and Chris Evans. I can go first if you want me to.
Sure, we'll just switch. That's fine.
Okay, we'll go back and forth. Sounds good. I'll start off by saying something nice about this movie.
Well, that's nice. You have something nice to say. I want to hear this.
The two leads are incredibly attractive. Can't say anything bad about Chris Evans or Ana de Armas. They are very attractive people. Unfortunately, the rest of the movie is a giant pile of shit. I hated this movie. I don't like rom-coms to begin with, and this commits the biggest sin of a rom-com to me. It's not funny. Everybody focuses on the rom portion, but not the com. And this movie was not funny at all. I didn't understand how a farmer could become proficient enough in hand-to-hand combat and weapons within just a few hours to effectively kill trained assassins and then have no, like, it didn't affect him at all. He just went on with life. I know if I killed somebody, I would be messed up from that. But this movie wasn't funny. The story made no sense. And yeah, I hated this movie. I would give it a 1 star out of 5. I thought this movie was awful.
Well, I did see a review saying this is the worst movie of the year so far.
I'd agree with that. Of the big budget stuff.
Yes. The problem is I'm going to get slapped for this. Anya Armas is not a good actress. I've tried to like her, and I'm like, she was good in Bond, but again, it's action, so she doesn't have to do anything. I look at Marilyn, I'm looking at this, I'm like, and I looked at the Ben Affleck movie, I'm like, she really doesn't do anything in any of these movies. She actually had to do some lifting here. She's not very good at it. And it just seems it's trying to be a light comedy without comedy. I do agree with your statement on there, but I never found it interesting. I found the villains blah. I found her blah. And I found we're just going from one scenario to the next, and nothing is funny. I want funny. I love rom-coms. A really good rom-com I love. They amuse me to know it. I know you hate them, but I actually do like them. And I have to agree with you. The best part of this film was Chris Evans' family. It was fantastic. Those family scenes were good. I'm like, okay, we got a good build. His sister's funny. They give her some good lines. It's good setup. And I just don't buy half this film. You know what I mean?
No.
Why would he go? I go, she goes to me. And, well, you sent me too many texts. And I go, that's kind of funny.
That I also think that's a fair thing, though. He was being a creep.
Yes.
He was 100% a creep. I would have ignored him, too.
I agree. But the rest of the film's just garbage, other than those few. I like when they have interaction, Armas and Evans. I think it's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
But the scenarios are dull. We've seen them. Nothing seems to really mesh together in this film. It always seems just to seem, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do this. We all know they're going to get together at the end.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think that was a surprise. I think with a little bit more rewrite and some few more jokes, this might actually work. I mean, that end scene's a mess with Adrian Brody.
Oh, it was awful.
Getting a case. I'm like, do you have the number? What do you mean? Do you have the number? Oh my God. You guys are killing me. This is just bad.
I think it had potential to be good if they had Chris Evans play the damsel in distress. That if he played the stereotypical female part where all this action just freaked him out and he was screaming and just, you know, being completely overwhelmed by it throughout the film, I think that had the potential to be funny because we know Chris Evans is Captain America, but if he played it that way, it would have been funny. It could have been something different. But no, by the first action scene, he's already killing people on the bus and being nonchalant about it. And that just it wasn't fun. We've seen him do that before. It's not fun.
I totally agree.
This should have been a fun film, and it just wasn't.
Yeah, Apple blew this one.
100%. Well, I guess we're going from one streaming service, Apple, to another with Disney Plus and Peter Pan and Wendy, directed by David Lowery, starring Jude Law, Alexander Maloney, and Ever Anderson. I believe it is your turn.
It is. I want to start off saying I think I've seen every iteration of Peter Pan ever made.
Okay.
And anything with the story of Peter Pan, I've seen them all. And I've come to the conclusion, pretty much except for the Disney one, I don't like any of them.
Even
Hook was terrible. I'm never on the Hook. It was my worst Steven Spielberg films I've ever seen. I like parts of the film. I think it's beautiful to look at. I think it's very well shot. I love the colors. I think there's a lot of color correction going on, or a lot of CGI that I'm not noticing. I mean, obviously, Tinkerbell CGI. Yes, I get that. I like the way they did Hook. I thought Jude Law did a wonderful job playing Hook. Mm-hmm. Smee is somebody, too, and I thought he was excellent, too.
Jim Gaffigan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I thought that was great. I just felt this was too kiddish at times, but it also very adult at times. Mm-hmm. I think I was getting a little bit of mixed messages at times. And Peter Pan's living in Hook's house, and they actually know each other. I'm like, really? Like, it kind of – and I thought the I can't remember her name. The woman that – the indigenous persons that helps out Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah. I do not remember.
Didn't really have a lot to do. I really felt disappointed at that. And I really thought this was half of a good story. The first half I quite liked. When they got there, they couldn't find Peter. And Hook kills him at one point. He comes back. I'm like, I'm all on board, but I thought the last action scene was awful. Kind of silly. And I'm like, you got, and I just thought Ever was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't annoy me. I didn't think she was wonderful. And I was kind of like, David, this is a beautiful looking film. I want to give you full credit on that. I have no issues with the directing. I just think the storyline let you down. It's just another Peter Pan story that did not need to be told. Or maybe having a Peter Pan fight a new villain besides Hook. There must be someone, or is that the problem? He can only fight Hook.
I think that, well, there is no Peter Pan continued universe. So I guess if they're just going on the main story, yeah, it's Hook, because I don't know that he has anybody else.
Well, your kids might be too old. Did they watch Jake and the Neverland Pirates?
No.
Well, it has a show, Jake and the Neverland Pirates. Mm-hmm. And it's the same argument. Hook is always around. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, we got to have an extension of this Peter Pan universe. We're going to keep making these films about the same five characters. Maybe we should add a new layer. Maybe a new villain. Maybe a new island. What does Peter do when Hook's not around? Or it's just like they get up the next day and do the same thing again. It really felt that this movie, they constantly are having the same battle over and over again.
I kind of think that was kind of the point of the movie, though. That when you're kids, you want to do the same thing over and over again. But when you're adults, you want to grow up and move on. And I think that's what this movie in particular, out of all the Peter Pan stories, is battling. It's the battle of wanting to be a kid and wanting to be an adult. I think that's kind of what this movie was going for. I didn't think that as I was watching it. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's Peter's storyline.
Well, no, I think that's Peter and Hook's storyline together.
Yes.
When you find out that they both they used to be best friends, and Hook decided he wanted to grow up and Peter didn't. So I think that's the visualization of what Wendy is going through. Wanting to be a kid, but also wanting to be an adult. I think David Lowery is a fantastic director.
So
I love that he goes from movies like this or Peter's Dragon, and then he does Green Knight or Ghost Story. He does the family film, and then he does his personal adult story. I love that he goes back and forth like that. I think that's really commendable as a director, to show that he can do more than one genre, more than one audience that he can tell stories to. But honestly, I'm kind of with you. I think I've seen this before. I wasn't really blown away by any of the performances. I thought it at times it looked spectacular. And then there were times when I thought it looked heavily CG'd. And at times that happened together. Like when they brought the kids to the sacrificial rock in the cave, I thought everything on the rock with the pirates and the kids and the water, that looked great. But then the camera like panned up and showed the walls, and I thought that all looked green screened and CGI'd. So it was like battle. it was styles battling against each other in one scene, and I much preferred the real life stuff caught in camera as opposed to the CG stuff. But yeah, this movie is very middle for me. I gave it 2.5 out of 5 stars.
I think I gave it a 2 again. I would have to check my letterbox. I just think I'm done with Peter Pan. We've had 4 remakes in 12 years probably of this film. Like, enough. There's nothing else I want to see. Let's leave this to rest. Unless he's finding somebody new. They can find somebody to Peter Pan. So let's go back. Hook does become an adult finally and moves on with his life. Mm-hmm. Wendy moves on with his life. Obviously, John and Michael are going to move on with his life. The indigenous person, I think, really lives here. I think this is – she's not
– Tiger Lily. I looked it up. Her name is Tiger Lily.
That's it. Yes. Tiger Lily. I think she lives here somehow. So does Peter just continue to be a boy in Neverland?
I think so.
Because he has nowhere else to go? Like, that was kind of sad at the end of this. It kind of just ditched Peter.
Yeah, well, it was Peter's choice. He could have
stayed
with them.
Absolutely his choice.
And he decided he never wanted to grow up, so he went back with Tink to be in Never Neverland.
So we just find a bunch of new boys to go hang out with? Is that the plan, to find a bunch of orphans?
Probably. And if you think about it, that's actually kind of creepy of Peter to do, but, yes. You know.
So he could almost, a bit of a dick is what I'm trying to get from this film.
Yeah, he could almost be considered a villain of the story.
He is in this one.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I think the kid playing Peter Pan, he might have been my least favorite performance in this film.
He's kind of dull.
Yeah, he just didn't – I always thought of Peter Pan as like captivate. Like if he's the leader of the Lost Boys, he should have the charisma to do it. And I just didn't think this kid was that charismatic.
I would love to have seen Tom Holland play Peter Pan here, but he's way too old.
Yes, and he's now doing – like everything. He's everywhere now.
We'll see.
Yeah.
He's the new Tommy Lee Jones. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Or Denzel Washington, maybe?
Denzel's always picked good scripts. I got to give Denzel full credit. He usually does not end in a bad movie.
But then there's Equalizer 2.
Well, we got Equalizer 3, too. It's coming out this year.
Yes, I know.
So yes. He needs the cash. He's trying to stockpile his wife. I don't know what he's doing.
He bought all those August Wilson plays, so he has to pay for them somehow. Yes. He bought the rights to every August Wilson play, and he wants to make all of them into movies.
Well, he's only made one in like 5 years, hasn't he?
Fences, and now they're doing another one now. I will be honest, I don't know August Wilson's plays, so I don't remember the name of this one that they're doing now.
Okay, fair enough.
But I guess we can move on to yet another streamer. We have Luther the Fallen Son on Netflix, directed by Jamie Payne, starring Idris Elba, Cynthia Erivo, Dermot Crowley, and Andy Serkis. So this will be my turn to go. And I kind of bullied you into putting this one on the list.
Oh, good. I was going to bring that up. Why did you came out and said it originally?
Yes. Mostly because I am a huge fan of the Luther TV series. I love the series. I was very excited that they were going to do a feature film. It just took me forever to watch it. So I said, hey, Simon, why don't we put it on the list so I finally have an excuse to watch the movie?
Yes.
And unfortunately, I thought it would have been a decent TV episode, I'm not sure why it had to be a feature film. It didn't go to the extremes that it could. It didn't. There was no extreme violence. There was no extreme language. There was no extreme sex. It was nothing that couldn't be on a regular episode of the TV show. I guess the extra budget went to hiring Cynthia Erivo and Andy Serkis to get kind of, I wouldn't even call them A-list celebrities. They're more B-list, I would say, at this point. Although Erivo is an Oscar-nominated actress. And both of them were very good. Idris Elba, again, fantastic as Luther. He knows this character in and out. I just don't see why this was a feature film. I don't see why it wasn't a TV movie. All in all, I gave it 3 out of 5 stars, just because I'm a big fan of Luther, big fan of the series. But on its own, I'm not sure how it stood on its own as a film.
Okay. Well, this is coming from a guy that's seen one episode of Luther, the first one ever, because a friend of mine made me watch it when I was in his house one day. I said, okay. Because I love the villain. I'm a big fan of her. That she's never done anything. Can't remember her name again. Just losing it tonight. I wasn't really sure what I was watching. I'm like, it felt more like a TV show than a movie at all times for me. Like, Cynthia Erivo, I found, really didn't have much to do until the end. And she could have been anybody for me. I don't think I needed Cynthia Erivo. Andy Serkis, I love Andy Serkis. So, and I thought he did a good job as a villain. Mm-hmm. I don't think they took the villainy far enough for me. I seemed to, everything was just sort of stopped when it would get interesting. It wasn't too bloody. It wasn't too this. I thought it was too easily figured out. That Luther had no problems figuring it out at one point, and everybody's chasing him, and nobody can find him. I'm like, really? All the technology we have nowadays, we can't find him? And he's always on the phone calling them and calling his buddy. But I think that's a callback to the show, his buddy, that I didn't get.
Yes, that character first started off as an internal affairs guy who in season 1 was investigating Luther. But then from season 2 on was his boss. So he went from investigating Luther to being his boss to being his friend.
I have a stupid question. I did watch this week. Did I miss why he went to jail?
No, that was the final season of the TV show.
Well, were they going to tell me, for a guy that's never seen the show, coming in, why is he in jail? I have no idea.
Yeah, they did not say that, and I will be honest, I don't remember the intricacies, but it had to do with him taking the blame for a crime I don't think he committed, but he wanted the person who did it to get away. So I think that's what I will be honest.
A recap there would have helped me out a lot for a guy just dropping in, going, oh, I'm going to watch this. Lost. I thought the jailbreak scene was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. I thought breaking him out was kind of fun. And after that, I just got bored. Like, I lost interest as the film went on, less and less interest. Until the computer guy showed up and they started showing what they were going to do. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. But I was just like, okay, we know there's a leak. As soon as he said there was a leak in the station, I'm like, well, we're going to find out who it is. Mm-hmm. And that character doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know if he is anybody, but it didn't mean anything to me at all.
No, he was not part of the show. He was a new character.
Here's my problem. I'm watching this, and I'm like, I really felt it was a TV movie.
Yeah, the only ones from the series were Luther and Schenck, his friend.
Oh, see, again, no idea. So if this is supposed to encourage me to go back and watch the show, didn't do it. It didn't make me have any interest in watching it.
Yeah, I will be honest. That's kind of the feeling I thought you would have. And that disappoints me because I was a really big fan of the show. And unfortunately, the movie was just okay. It wasn't.
See, I found it less than okay. I mean, as soon as they introduced Cynthia Erivo's daughter, she's like, oh, you got to clean the kitchen. She goes downstairs, kitchen's not clean, and like, she's done. Somebody's coming to get her. They're spending way too much time on her. And Cynthia Erivo's character, to me, made bad choices I can't see her making.
That's true, but they also felt like human choices, at least. It wasn't... I don't know. I kind of believed it. But maybe I just have a soft spot because I love the show.
Maybe that's true. I would probably give this a 2, and I'm talking... I don't think it's a 1.5 on Letterboxd bad, so I'm giving it a 2 just because I love Idris Elba.
Okay, that's fair.
And that's really about it. Cynthia Erivo kind of dull, and I thought Circus was solid. I wish I could talk about this more, but I don't think there's anything really here. Oh, the Piccadilly Circus scene I do want to discuss. You know when they finally catch up to Luther?
Mm-hmm.
That was bad. Like, I thought he was going to escape 14 times, but nope, he goes down the stairs and chases. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Then the cop gets stabbed. I'm like, this is bad.
And again, I think that goes back to my big complaint was that they didn't make anything bigger for a movie. Like, they could have made the violence in that scene a lot more gruesome. You could have seen a person land after they jumped off the roof. And that would have definitely qualified as the upgrade to a feature from a TV show, but they didn't do that. They shied away from the extra gore that would have provided.
So you think it's missing gore? I don't know if the show has gore.
The show did have some gory moments, but nothing too extreme, I would say.
Okay. So I have to ask you, as a Luther fan, would you recommend this?
Not as a first watch, no. I would say
so
definitely.
So I'm in trouble. So that was bad for me coming in as a first watch, really.
Probably, yes. I was hoping it wouldn't be. I was hoping that it would be, you know, anybody could watch it and generate more interest in Luther, but unfortunately that was not the case.
Okay. So people, I did try. Doug did bully into adding this. I said, fine,
yes.
Let's put it on, and it didn't do it for me. Oh, well.
That's fine. But you did add Godzilla versus Biollante. Directed by Kazuki Omori, starring Kunihiko Mitamura, Yoshiko Tanaka, Masanobu Takashima. And that's where I will stop trying to pronounce Japanese
names.
You're
doing such a great job. Oh, is it my turn?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I have seen this one before, but I've forgotten all about it. And after watching it, I remember why. This is like half of a script. It's like somebody filmed something and left half the script somewhere. I think the idea was great. I think there's a really good idea at the beginning. I think they follow it through for the whole movie and they get to the end. No problems there. But they have this great spy thing they're working on, and they never really do anything with it. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, I kind of get where you're going. Yep. Nope. And then Godzilla fights the monster for like 30 seconds. I'm like, what are you guys doing? I want more Godzilla and more of the spy thing that was kind of interesting when you kill off the guy's daughter. And the guy's raising these plants. I'm like, all into the... Nothing happens. I'm like, okay. Well, it might be able to beat Godzilla. We don't know. Oh, but I've been making this thing. I'm like, oh, here we go. And the monster looks okay. But again, nothing happens. Like, guys, what are you doing? Give me... The Godzilla looked great. It's the best Godzilla's looked in years. But again, nothing to do.
Well, at least the one thing I forgot about this, I forgot it was direct sequel to Godzilla's Revenge or Godzilla 1985. I forgot that it was a direct sequel to that. So, first of all, it's got to be better than that movie.
It is better.
I do think this one's better. I like the fact that the monster he fights is a flower with Godzilla cells spliced into it. I don't think that would actually really work in real life, but it's so much fun. I like that aspect of it. And when I first saw it, I was like, how is Godzilla going to fight a flower? Flowers don't move. They're stationary. But when it becomes a kaiju, it can move. And it wasn't just Godzilla versus the Little Shop of Horrors. There was actually another kaiju he could fight. So based on that, I liked it better than Godzilla 1985. So,
well, it's a better film than Godzilla 1985.
Yes. So I gave this one 2.5, maybe 3 stars out of 5.
Again, another 2 for me. Get past this garbage. Yes. I just think the Godzilla franchise is struggling, like, from a good script. I don't think they know how to write what they have. And I think this idea works. I think they should have done is played up the counter-terrorism angle or whoever's trying to steal the stuff. And they should have made the Godzilla monster somehow.
Yes, that would have been – that would have
worked. And have the government forces try to catch them like they did with those cockroach ones.
Like, yeah, I think though – but that's – the problem with the Godzilla franchise in general is just that nobody knows how to write a good Godzilla story. They either focus too much on the humans and not enough on Godzilla, or they just don't give Godzilla an interesting opponent to battle and still concentrate way too much on the humans. It's a delicate balance that very few Godzilla films get right. I mean, I will be honest and say probably maybe the original Godzilla and Shin Godzilla, maybe those are the only two actual good Godzilla movies.
And I've never seen Shin for some reason. I've seen almost every – Shin for some reason I missed. At least I think I did. We'll find out when we get there. We're going to do more Godzilla. Every time I have a list, we do Godzilla. So.
Yes.
We will eventually by the end – I think by the end of this year, we actually will be close to finishing.
Probably. We're up to like around Godzilla 2000 now. So
yeah, we're getting there. It's all right. So no, I thought the acting was solid in this one for the first time. It didn't annoy me. They didn't have any annoying people. No people sleeping on trains this time. And
yeah, Godzilla didn't sleep.
Godzilla didn't have a nap. So – and I even thought the army looked good in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting there. We're getting there. And They didn't have the Russians and the Americans meeting to discuss stupid things. So it's an improvement. We're getting there, Doug. We're getting there.
Yes. And now we can get to the leads, the Glengarry leads. Glengarry Glen Ross, directed by James Foley, starring Al Pacino, Jack Lemmon, Ed Harris, Alan Arkin, Kevin Spacey, Jonathan Pryce, and Alec Baldwin. So
it's your turn.
I guess it's my turn. I had not seen this movie for 20 years, I would say. And all I remembered was the Alec Baldwin scene in the beginning. I rewatched this movie this morning, so it's kind of fresh in my mind. What an amazing cast this movie has. I think everybody in this movie was on top of their game. Jack Lemmon, Jack Lemmon steals the movie as Shelley, who's down on his luck, but then makes the sale. And then I don't really want to spoil this movie because I think at its heart, it does have a mystery element to it. But I love Jack Lemmon in this. But I also don't think any of the characters in this movie, with maybe the exception of Alan Arkin's Aaron, I forget his character's last name, nobody in this movie is sympathetic or likable. I think everybody is – they're all vile. I would not want to hang out with any of them. But I think every actor just gives an incredible performance here. I know this was your first time watching this. I'm very curious to hear your take.
I think you hit the nail right in the head, but I have to adjust. My favorite is Pacino.
Okay.
I love Shelley, but he's a close second, but I love Pacino. I love Arkin. Oh, my God. Who wrote this? I mean, I know Mamet wrote it, but did he write it just for Arkin? Arkin plays Arkin perfectly. Drove me up the wall to the point I wanted to punch Alan Arkin in the face numerous times. Shut up! And again, Jack Lemmon just is such a good actor here. He just I know it's a play, just breathes out of him by the end. And you think all these people really just, I just love the Pacino Jonathan Pryce scene. Steals the movie for me. Mm-hmm. When they're just at the end, when they're going through that, I'm like, oh my God, this is just an amazing scene. And Spacey really doesn't have much to do, but he's so good at what little he does.
Yes, yes.
Which I really liked. I mean, I just think this film flows. I didn't love it, but it flows for me. Everybody has something to do. The conversations are fascinating at times. And the ABC method, always be selling. Is that always be closing?
Closing.
So good. Alec Baldwin just nails it when he shows up.
Yes.
And I find it's a nice tight hour 40. I do like the runtime on this. I find they don't push it. I mean, there's nothing to do with the sets. It's all about the acting.
Yeah, and they did add, like, Mamet did add the Alec Baldwin scene. That was not part of the play. That was something written to extend the runtime for the movie to
well, it works.
Have something
it
else.
It really
yes.
works. I think this film, the dialogue is crisp. It's fun. It's interesting the way they try to. I'm not sure what they're selling. Fake land in Florida?
Yeah, just real estate. It's
Does it really exist? I never really understood. Is it swampland? They never really say.
Yeah, they don't. I think you could put whatever you want on that. I think they are selling swampland and just trying to swindle people out of money.
That's the way I
just took seems
it.
Like the. And this time I noticed, was Jack Lemmon's daughter in the was she dying? That's what I didn't get. Like. I know he calls the hospital and is saying, yeah, I wanted to come tonight, but I can't. There's this big important meeting.
Oh, I thought he was going to sell somebody something at that scene.
No, I think his daughter is in the hospital, and I think she's not doing well. Because when he calls at one time and says, you know, like, I'll pay for it somehow.
Yes.
And so I think that was what flips Shelley to do what he does. Yeah. So I think Possibly. That's the case, but it's not really spelled out 100%.
Fair. I don't know if we can go too much in depth of ruining things. I've just kind of thought at the end. I just think it's great. I think people should watch this. I think they should learn something by it. I think it's all there on the screen.
Yes.
Okay. We only have one thing left to go over, but I have good news. Next time we meet will be after the giant garage sale weekend.
Okay.
So I should have something to talk about if I bought anything finally, because garage sale season is starting in Canada, so I will start going out again. Because one of my my Salvation Army near my house closed down, so there's another outlet gone for me. So I'm pretty much now down to just garage sales.
Okay. All right. So are we going on to our, because I have two movies left on my list.
Do we only have, okay, go. Sorry. I made a mistake. I thought we were done.
Okay. No, because I have Hollywood Shuffle and Stalag 17.
Oh, shoot. You know what? I did not watch Hollywood Shuffle.
Okay. So then we can skip that one.
17. Yeah, skip Star. Right. I forgot. I started it and never finished it. I knew there was a... Go to Starlight 17. I'm sorry. We'll finish that up and we'll do Hollywood Shuffle in my next episode. Because I didn't finish it. I totally forgot.
All right. Stalag 17.
Directed. My bad, people. We're going to be really screwed up this episode. Go ahead.
That's all right. Stalag 17, directed by Billy Wilder, starring William Holden, Don Taylor, Otto Preminger, Robert Strauss, and Richard Erdman, who I what threw in there. Because he was in Community.
I think this is just a weird film to do right after Glengarry Glen Ross. This is the same film. Just in
they're both based on
camp.
Plays.
Oh, I didn't know that was a play too.
Mm-hmm.
One, I really enjoyed Starlight 17. I think it has the exact opposite problem Glengarry Glen Ross. It runs too long. It really needed to be a 20-minute trim on this thing. I just think it takes too long and they repeat themselves a lot. The comedy I found finds flat a lot. I didn't like it. Some of the comedy I did like when the guy comes in and reads the telegram, so I thought it was really good. I thought all that worked for me. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think the German officer comedy worked well, except for the one where they do the white line down the middle of the camp.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was hysterical. That one worked where they're going to the Russian women?
Yes.
I thought that worked. And I mean, when they go to, the guy has to go meet the commandant, the big guy, didn't really do much for me. I think it's William Holden that goes, could be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched this movie because I watched a bunch of William Holden movies at the start of COVID-19, at the start of the pandemic. I watched this, I watched Sabrina, I watched Towering Inferno, a bunch of others. But this was the movie that really – I mean, this is the one William Holden won the Oscar for. But I could see why. I think he commands the screen
William
every
Holden
time
won the
he's
Oscar
on there.
This?
Yes. He won lead actor that. For this film. Yeah, and I see why. I mean, he's definitely a commanding presence. A lot of the humor – I kind of thought this felt like the TV show Hogan's Heroes to me. And I did a little bit of research, and I did find that Hogan's Heroes was inspired by this movie or play, Stalag 17. But I mean, it's Billy Wilder, so it's even if it's not great Billy Wilder, it's going to be really good. And honestly, I think this is great Billy Wilder. This is one of my favorite Billy Wilder films. I'd put it up there with Sunset Boulevard. I really liked this movie. I had a lot of fun with this.
I love seeing a young Peter's Graves. I love seeing Von Zipper from the Beach movies. I just think this film works. It's got some great levels. Like I said, a 20-minute trim, I think this would be perfect. I love the end.
The end where the mystery is solved and how William Holden's character solves the mystery. I think it all just works. I think it's done really well here.
Okay, Doug, we're out of time now. See, we wouldn't have time for Hollywood Shuffle anyway. We're hitting our time limit. So that was my bad. But we got to Luther because for you, so it kind of worked out well.
Yeah.
Did you buy anything, Doug?
I got to find. I did buy a couple things. I'll go real quick here. I got the I guess you can't see it. Oh, there we go. The Untouchables in 4K.
That was on your Facebook.
Yes. And I did get, speaking of not watching it, I did get the Hollywood Shuffle Criterion.
We're going to get to it. We'll get to it, people. I promise. In two episodes, we'll be back on the Shuffle.
And finally, I could show I got Bob's Burgers on Blu-ray, and I got it signed by H. John Benjamin.
He plays Bob?
Yes, he's the voice of Bob.
Okay, I got a couple seconds here left. I'm going to tell a funny, quick story. So we're in Montreal. Bob, whole cast of Bob Burgers is there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for some reason, we get kicked out of the hotel. We still never figured out why. We're convinced it was Ali Wong because we went to get her line checking in, and she was so miserable to us, but she did sign. So we had everybody but Bob. on our cast photos. We had the whole cast but Bob. So none of us really knew what Bob looked like. Was the problem? Because we, you know. So we walked over to the venue, and we're waiting for it to come out. And somebody goes, "Who are you guys looking for?" We're like, "This guy." They're like, "Oh, wait here. We'll get him for you. Don't worry." And we kept seeing the cast come out. They're like, "No, no, he's coming. Don't worry." He did come out eventually. He came right over to us and signed. Because I hear you guys are missing me. And he came over and finished our cast photo. So me and my buddy. And the cast was wonderful. I want you to know everybody on Bob's Burgers was absolutely wonderful. Whole cast.
Nice.
The most miserable cast at Simpsons?
They've been doing it for like 30 years.
I got Family Guy the whole cast when they were really nice.
Okay.
They just had come back from cancellation when I met them. And the SpongeBob cast is hysterical live. They're really good. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Please, if you could donate, it would help me out.
Make us watch a movie.
Make us watch a movie, because you know how much I hate watching movies. Thank you all. Have a great night. Goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye. Good night.
Hey, just a couple of things. PayPal has extra features at PayPal. And if you don't have any money, that's okay. We don't either. And remember, it's only $5. Number two, if you enjoyed this, please rate and review us, iTunes, Spotify. It all helps us out for people to find us. Thank you. Have a great day.